Sorry.
That's fine.
My apologies.
It is a little less chaotic than last time.
We have two people.
Only two humans.
On the microphone. The only two in the podcast, technically. And Red Dog, who's in my face. It's in my personal space and a half.
Oh, man.
It's like, hello, auntie, what are you doing?
Hello.
Can I breathe your air that you're breathing out? Because that would be nice.
You see it?
Thank you so much.
Good boy.
So this is the Black Widow and the Banshee.
We's here.
We's
here.
We's here. Post-therapy.
Post-therapy?
Retail
therapy?
Oh, you did do retail therapy.
Yes.
We have three new friends in the house.
Yes.
Is chicken and a cow and a sheep.
For my house.
And they're not living and breathing.
No.
But they're very cute. Can you please not cry in my face, little slinky dog?
We've got a lot of sass happening, so bear with us.
Bear with us.
Today we're going to talk about another Californian serial killer.
Ooh.
Ooh, spooky.
Also, the Black Widow got me some really cool shirts.
Yeah, shout out to Wicked Clothing. Sponsor us.
Woo!
Sponsor us.
Shout the fuck out.
Yeah, friends.
They're amazing.
If you remember our Fresno Nightcrawler episode, they have a really cute t-shirt, which the Banshee now owns.
Ah.
They also have a Banshee t-shirt.
Hell yeah. Now they're going to be crop tops.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yep.
Also have like seven variations of the Mothman t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
So if you're curious.
So if you need all seven of them, buy them.
I stopped myself.
I'm surprised you don't have every single one of them. As soon as you said that, I was like, wait a second.
Wait
you didn't
a second,
buy yourself
wait a second.
Anything?
I got a shirt.
What did you get?
It's in the closet.
What?
It's like a Memento Mori shirt with like a raven on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is nice.
Well, that's exciting.
I mean, all of my other ones are like, ooh.
Yeah.
So.
You dress a little spooky.
I do. Mostly black. It's okay.
Heck yeah.
Yes. So I know that I said another California serial killer. And before you ask, I pulled it up because now I want to know how many fucking serial killers are active in California or have been.
All of them.
Because I feel like we keep learning more.
Very much many.
About.
Tons.
Yeah, a fuck ton that we didn't ever know about.
Yes.
So, fact number one of today.
Yes.
You are more likely to be killed by a serial killer in the state of California.
Okay.
As California has had 1,648 known serial killer victims since 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
2021?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Accurate. Recent.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did you get this?
The internet.
The internet?
The internet.
Oh my gosh.
I think it is mostly because they are identifying new victims in old cases.
Ah, good
There's
point.
Not too many people running amok.
Technology.
At least as far as they're aware. I also could not find an exact number of how many there are or have been, but I did find a whole new rabbit hole of serial killers who might still be active, so stay tuned for that.
Woo!
Not just in California, though.
Oh, so, just in general.
Yes. But I did find a fuck ton of articles discussing on how California was the murder capital of the world in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
Because there was no way to examine DNA yet.
Yeah.
And California was so densely populated, but it also has like a fuck ton of national parks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really fun documentary on Hulu? Yeah, Hulu. City of Angels.
Okay.
That's probably wrong.
Maybe.
City of Death, City of Angels. That might be right. It's got Paul Holes in it.
Okay.
Our true crime Jesus.
True Paul Holes. Jesus, who isn't slinky.
Who isn't slinky. But it's really good. It's a couple of episodes. It talks about all of the serial killers who were active all at the same time in the 70s and the 80s.
Got it.
And kind of gives you like a purview into the investigations that were going on. It's very neat.
Neat.
Neato.
Watch it.
Oh.
If you want more spooky spook.
More spooky spook. They do not talk about this serial killer, though.
How dare they?
I know. So now.
But now we're gonna learn.
We're gonna tell you things.
You're gonna learn today.
Gonna learn today. So let me tell you about a human called Lonnie David Franklin, also known as the Grim Sleeper. Lonnie David Franklin Jr. was born on August 30th in 1952 and grew up in central Los Angeles. I almost read that as Louisiana. Sorry.
Wow.
Well, it says LA. Isn't that the state things for Louisiana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense.
Wasn't
now.
Too far off.
I thought it was, like, spelt out Los Angeles, and you were like, Louisiana. I'm like, absolutely not.
No.
It was a good try.
Yes. He was in the United States Army until he was dishonorably discharged on July 24th, 1975, because of these things. Buckle your true crime seatbelt.
My butt is buckled.
He was released from prison for being convicted for gang raping a 17-year-old girl in Stuttgart, West Germany, in April 1974. No, sir.
You, sir, are an attention whore. What?
No.
What do you mean for me?
He and two other servicemen that were stationed in Stuttgart stopped to ask the girl for directions, and they offered her a ride home. And when she accepted, they kidnapped her at knife point, drove her out to a field, and raped her.
That's awful.
Yes. Totally terrible. However, she was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
So after the rape, she pretended to be interested in Lonnie and asked for his phone number.
Ugh.
Idiot. Gave it to them, and the police were able to use his phone number to identify him.
Oh, she's so smart.
Yeah. And one of the other idiots took photographs during the rape, so they had evidence.
Oh, my gosh.
And the photograph piece becomes important later, and that gives us insight into Emma. So put your little...
pin.
Thank you.
Put your little...
I imagine us, like, in the podcast verse is when I say that, like, a just giant cork board with
yes.
all of the murder stuff, and you're just like, pow!
Yes.
Emma.
Every time.
So we're going to jump ahead to 1989. He was released after being dishonorably discharged, so he went back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1989, he was convicted of two charges of theft, one charge of misdemeanor assault, and one charge of battery, and he only ended up serving time for the theft charges. I know you're going to ask, so I'm going to repeat it again. In an act of physical violence by one person against another, assault is usually paired with battery. In an act of physical violence, assault refers to the act which causes the victim to apprehend, that doesn't make sense, to get, like, be physically harmed immediately,
mm-hmm.
while battery refers to the actual act of causing the harm.
Got it.
That's why they usually go together, and they're kind of different.
Got it. Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. It's like, she's gonna ask. Gotta put it...
very possible. Like, excuse me, help.
Help, please. Lonnie ended up being a married human with two children. At the time of his arrest, he had been married for 32 years.
Ugh.
Some odd jobs that he held since he was dishonorably discharged include a garbage collector.
Mm-hmm.
Put a pin in that one.
Pin.
An LAPD parking attendant.
Okay.
Now, I'm unsure, like, if he was a parking attendant for their parking lot or if he was, like, one of those traffic guys giving out tickets and shit.
Yeah.
But I'm inclined to think it was the first.
Yeah.
And now a lot of what I found doesn't focus anymore, like, on his personal life, but more so his victims, because once they caught him, they were like, fuck you, dude.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
So, now we have a little bit of background about him. Let's talk about California, specifically the LA area from the 70s to the 80s.
Garbage can.
I have a list.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I love lists.
So, from 1960 to 1990, here is the list of active serial killers down in L.A.
Okay.
You got the freeway killer. You got the hillside stranglers. You got the Skid Row stabber. You got the night stalker. You got fucking Golden State Killer, the Manson family, and that's not even all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the hillside stranglers and the freeway killer, I think, were, like, identified originally. They thought it was, like, the same,
mm-hmm.
same
mm-hmm.
group.
Mm-hmm.
Same people.
Yep. There's also the toolbox killers.
Yep.
Those guys were gnarly.
Yep. Wasn't BTK in the California area too? Or am I?
Tell me why I think about him being back east.
I don't know.
What does the internet say?
I listen to way too much true crime, so.
Dennis Radar, Mr. BTK.
Oh yeah, no, you're right.
You slimy piece of shit.
Kansas.
Yep, Kansas. Yep.
Way off.
That's okay.
It said something about El Dorado something. That's probably why.
Mm-hmm.
There's more El Dorados than just California, though.
That's true. So all of that aside, LAPD realizes that they have another serial killer in the mid-80s who's targeting black women who were sex workers and chronic drug users.
Okay.
So we're like, all right, really? We just got fucking done catching a bunch of these bitches,
yep.
and now we have another one that's just like, ah, loose and shit.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. As if the detectives were not already exhausted.
Yeah, because they definitely didn't have enough force to deal with
any of that.
Any of it.
Awesome.
At all. Everyone who's like, wait a second. Serial killing? Maybe. I'll take it up.
Yeah.
It's fucking rude.
Rude. The Grim Sleeper was originally called the Southside Slayer because they thought he was responsible for 13 murders of sex workers from 1983 to 1985 because the victims were either stabbed or strangled and the murders were in tandem known as the Strawberry Murders.
Okay.
Because apparently strawberry was like slang for a woman who exchanges sex for drugs.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I don't know if I'll ever eat strawberries again, but...
You know, not after that. No. Not anytime soon.
Uh-uh.
Can't say they sound appetizing.
Mm-mm. So, we've got a little bit of background there. So, we're going to jump ahead to 1985. LAPD holds a press conference to enlist the help of the public. So, remember how I said that he was arrested on theft in 1989?
Yes.
So, he's actively killing in when LAPD is having this press conference in 1985.
Okay.
So he's arrested for other charges, but not murder yet.
Right.
Just want to keep our timeline a little bit straight.
They caught him, but not for the right thing.
Correct.
Yep. We see that a lot.
Right.
That's like a very common occurrence in that time.
Well, so sometimes if you're only doing the theft charge and you have them, like, you caught them, you're not going to run their DNA through CODIS.
Well, I don't even think they were... DNA wasn't...
Oh, you're right. DNA wasn't real yet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it was just between the miscommunications and, like, the disconnect between departments.
Yeah.
It's like this guy could have been picked up by a whole different department, and then no one knows because the systems aren't tied, and it's all word of mouth at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the same time period where everyone's like, what information do you have? What information do you have? I'm not giving you my information. I'm keeping my information to myself because we want to be the ones to solve the case.
Mm-hmm.
Shifty. Just some patchy law enforcement, but I mean, it was the time, it was the lack of technology, and
yep.
We're not there anymore.
Nope. So LAPD holds this press conference to enlist the help of the public for these Southside Slayer slayings. And they were pretty widely criticized after the press conference because they failed to tell the public about the serial killer sooner.
Oh.
And the public felt that the murders weren't being investigated properly or in a timely manner, so there was a lot of protests outside of some of the LAPD stations.
Interesting.
Protesters said that because the victims were black sex workers, the police didn't care about them, which is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
The Night Stalker was also active during this time, like I said before. So you have to bear in mind that the resources are spread pretty thin, like we've already talked about.
Yeah.
But I see protesters' point, and, you know, knowing what we know about true crime, many serial killers target sex workers, hoping that these cases will be less paid attention to.
Exactly.
There's also the sexual aspect of it, so.
Yeah, because they just wanted to, they didn't necessarily treat sex workers as, you know, human back then.
Yeah.
They didn't have the same, it's not the same if a, you know, a 14-year-old girl from a, like, a rich white family goes missing versus
yeah.
a, you know, 19-year-old black girl who's been on the streets and is known to be a drug addict.
Yep.
And a sex worker.
Yep.
So.
So. Protests were had.
Protests. Why are we crying?
I don't know. So, we're jumping to January 1986, and they've officially linked 15 murders to this particular case of the Southside Slayer. Stop. Slinky. So LAPD gets smart and they add more detectives to their joint task force with LA County Sheriff.
Okay.
So they're trying to get their shit together.
Right.
And they called it the Southside Slayer Task Force.
Love it.
I wrote this terribly. I apologize. The woman who was organizing all the protests, her last name, Prescott, gave her group the formal name, the Black Coalition Fighting Back Serial Murders.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But she was able to work with the department to get the reward for information increased from $15,000 to $25,000.
Nice.
To try to, you know, get some more movement for the task force.
Right. More money.
Yeah.
So that was a lot more back then, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So the main issue with trying to catch the Grim Sleeper is that he wasn't sticking to a consistent MO.
Mm-hmm.
And with the number of serial killers running around, I can understand their hesitation because you have to, A, be as thorough as you can, B, gather as much evidence as you can, have more than DNA, because that's what you have. The DA has to have plenty to work with, so they've got beyond a reasonable doubt for court.
Yeah.
And like I said, seeing, like, DNA is still a new science, barely viable.
Right.
You know, and you want to make sure you get the right suspect. Yeah. So the murder's, like, stop. Yeah. Unlike most of our Italian cases.
Yeah. All of our Italian cases.
We did it! Just kidding! We did it! Just kidding! We did it! Just kidding!
We actually didn't.
Oh, gosh.
We're trying! We swear!
So now we're in late 1986 with the variable MOs. LAPD is looking at, like, four fucking serial killers. That's the thing. I think it's four active ones.
Jesus.
And they're running out of leads. So they start to wind down the Side Slayer task force. And now we're gonna jump way the fuck ahead.
Okay.
Because it's gonna wind way the fuck down.
Got it.
So now we jump to May 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big jump.
Yep. When LAPD ends up linking the murder of Janica Peters, age 25, through advancements in DNA to 11, potentially 12 of the murders that happened in LA in 1985.
Love advancement in DNA.
Do. So she was murdered in 2007.
Okay.
So I know you would ask because we didn't go through the victims yet.
Right. I assume we will.
We will. We will. So as
I knew it was coming.
It's coming. It's promise.
I'm like, ah, come on.
As a result, the 800 task force was formed.
Okay.
The task force consisted of 7 detectives, and 4 months after the May discovery, the LA Weekly reporter Christine Pelisek. Sorry, Christine. I can't read your last name.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, she outed the task force, which had previously been a secret.
Oh my gosh.
Which, on one hand, totally get, because you don't want the killer to flee, but the reporter was pissed because neither the mayor nor the police chief notified the public that LA still had an active serial killer.
Yeah.
So
now it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
Also, the thing that I get mad about, which we already know, so, some of the victims' families were told through her article that their daughters were killed and linked to a serial killer.
Yeah, that's awful.
Which, I mean, you're a reporter. Do your job. But also, fuck you.
Yeah, but also, like, maybe, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Like, the family...
Not a big reporter gal.
We are not big reporter fans.
Not a big reporter fan. So.
Yeah.
I know there's good reporters out there.
I almost gave a certain... go fuck you shout out, but it's fine.
Yeah, a certain reporter can go.
She knows who she is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but so I put in the note, like, nobody wants to read about their murdered loved one on the news.
No. And also, yeah, it's shifty, and a lot of the time they're just looking for views, because at the end of the day, I don't necessarily think that it's always in the interest of getting the case the publicity it needs. It's more of getting your publication and your personal brand the publicity. So it's like, they don't give a shit if they're giving wrong information. They're not giving a shit if they're skewing the story. They're not giving a shit about the families.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my, I'm off my soapbox now.
We don't know anything about this at all firsthand.
No.
Not at all.
Nope.
Not at all.
No. If you're a shitty reporter, I will push you down a cliff.
Go fuck yourself.
And then you're going to be listening to just Black Widow without the Banshee podcast, and she'll cover the case.
Yep.
But it's going to be pretty straightforward, because I'm just going to... Actually, I could just push a bunch of them off cliffs, and then that's my mom.
All at one time.
But I mean, no, I've got to do it separately, because then that's a... It can't be a spree kill. It can't be a mass homicide.
You want your fucking story, bitch? Here's your fucking story.
Write it from down there.
Spartan kick.
Oh, you're still alive? I'll throw this giant rock on you. Anyways.
We digress. So.
Sort of.
Fuck yourself, sack bee. So we jump to March 2009. When fucking whatever the fuck your name is, Christine. I'm going to hate her the rest of this podcast. I'm not sorry.
No.
I don't give a fuck. Anyway, she went as far as to have an in-depth interview with the only survivor of the Grim Sleeper.
Oh, God.
Now, active case.
Yep.
Not closed.
Yep.
Dumb bitch.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck you doing?
Yep.
Why aren't you just working with the task force? Anyway, the only survivor was Anitra Washington, and she described the Grim Sleeper as a black man in his early 30s, thin, neat, tidy, and well-groomed. She stated that he wore a black polo t-shirt tucked into khaki trousers, and he owned an orange Ford Pinto with a white racing stripe on the hood. She was like, it looked like a fucking Hot Wheels toy.
That is exactly what I pictured.
Yep. So he offered her a ride, and she smartly refused. She said he was very persistent and then stated, that is what is wrong with you black women. You think you are all that. So after they argued back and forth, she got into the car, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
She said the inside of the car was really memorable because the gear shift was like a ping pong-sized marble ball.
Oh.
And, like, the interior was all white with, like, diamond patterns.
Okay.
She then mentioned a party she was going to, and then he invited himself, but said, she said they, like, they wound through residential roads in his car, ending up on a street whose name she couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And she said he parked in front of a mustard-colored house with a house party going on that was, like, hidden by hedges.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the house party briefly, spoke to someone in the house, came back 10 minutes later. And when he returned, they started arguing, and he pulled out a small handgun and shot her in the chest as he continued to drive.
Jeez.
So she said that he documented the attacks with a Polaroid camera because after she blacked out, she was woken up by a flash.
Hmm.
He had taken her photo in, this is not good, but I have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warning. Sexually assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
She grabbed him and pleaded to be taken to a hospital. She thinks he said no because he didn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the bulk of the interview, basically.
Okay.
So I don't know how she got the fuck out of there, but she did. So, good for her.
Yeah. That's nuts. But it's also, like, poo on Christine, back to hating reporters, because that is all... It's important for her as a survivor to tell her story. I think that's really powerful. But also... you could most definitely be screwing with the case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the case details. And, I mean, that there could have been leads that police were on and the task force could have been on.
Yeah. And that could have totally fucked it up. Yep. Hey, Booba, why don't you not bark, hey?
We've got a very needy little fella over here.
Yeah, I know.
And his hand is full of slobber because otherwise he cries.
Gross.
Yeah.
So then we get to August 2008. And the police chief didn't want to comment on the case. So then we get to 2008 in September, and LAPD ups the reward. So it's $500,000 now to catch the killer.
Wow.
And then we jump to November 1st, same year. He, Grim Sleeper, like, they're starting to run his, what is that thing?
Profile?
Yeah, but, like, in the sketch.
Okay.
That's the word. They're starting to run his sketch on America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
And I have to...
And I've got beef jerky.
With snacks.
Snacks and peep.
Snacks and peep. All right. So, America's Most Wanted.
Uh-huh.
Still nothing happening. We get around to February 25th, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Police chief has a press conference where they formally use the Grim Sleeper's name, a.k.a. the Grim Sleeper.
Okay.
And they release a 911 call with details about one of the bodies.
Oh.
Yeah, so it gets really interesting. All
right. But
then we go almost a whole year without any more development. So December in 2009, LAPD re-released the sketch based on Washington's description of him.
Mm-hmm.
And they released three age enhancements, like composite drawings.
Okay.
And so, like, that's it. And we don't have any more developments until we jump to, like, the day, the big day that he was fucking arrested.
Wow.
Yeah. So, July 7th, 2010, he was charged with 10 counts of murder, one attempted murder, special circumstances on the murders. They got him the same way, or not the same way, but in a similar way that they got a Golden State Killer.
Oh.
So, they finally got his DNA after not being able to find a match in their databases that matched the exact DNA found at the crime scene, so they switched their approach. And they expanded the search to include DNA with a familial relationship.
Uh-huh.
And they found similar DNA belonging to Franklin's son,
ooh,
Christopher, who had been convicted on a felony weapons charge in 2008.
Ooh.
Christopher, of course, was too young to be the Grim Sleeper, but the DNA brought him to dear old daddy.
Dear old daddy.
Yes.
That's what happens when you're a criminal and you raise criminals.
Yeah. Okay, but this is how they confirmed that it was him for sure. Him. So they used a piece of thrown out pizza to confirm that Franklin's DNA was the match they were looking for.
I love when they do shit like that.
Yeah, an undercover cop. This is fucking crazy. Listen to this. An undercover cop pretended to be a waiter where Franklin was eating, so they collected everything he was touching. They were able to confirm that his saliva was the saliva found on the victims, thereby linking him to the murders.
Ugh.
So I'm just imagining, like, an undercover cop for some reason in, like, a Luigi outfit, like, just collecting all of these things. Like, I'm gonna get this motherfucker. We fucking got him. Like,
and you know who I'm thinking of mentally?
No.
Our gang boy.
Oh!
Our favorite gang officer.
Our favorite gang officer. Oh, boy.
If he's ever on our podcast, that's just...
I just imagine him taking the cup back. Gang.
he's all hyped. He's like, yeah.
Got him.
He
got back,
he's like, gang, got this guy.
Yeah. We love you, broski.
We love you so much.
Can't wait to see you soon.
Can you wear a waiter Luigi outfit? Thanks.
In advance. Thank you. Sorry, my brain was like...
You're like, why? Not following anymore.
Yeah. And like I said, like I said earlier, in regard to the Grimsleeper's DNA, it was not previously on file, even though he was convicted of that felony in 1989, and he was convicted of a different felony in 2003, which he served 3 years of supervised probation for.
Uh-huh.
But interestingly enough, the DNA was not on file because 2004 was the year that Prop 69 was passed.
Oh.
And this, in the land of California, requires DNA to be collected from all felons and people arrested on some specific charges. And it required expansion of, like, the whole DNA database. So his DNA should have been entered, but it was never done because he was not required. It was not required of probation officers until August of 2005.
Damn.
So they, like...
So they barely missed him.
Yep. Just barely. So, on, okay, this is gnarly.
Okay.
December 16th, sorry, I had to get closer to the computer. LAPD released at least 180 photos of women they found in Franklin's home, trying to get help identifying them.
Oof.
So they weren't sure if they had ever been victims, but they needed to get the word out to help identify them to see if they ever had been. They also found a total of 1,000 photos and a fuck ton of hours of video footage that depict mostly women nude, ranging in age from teens to late 50s, which is interesting because there's no...
Yeah. There's no continuity, but you never know also if that's, like, his, like, you know how serial killers, most, some,
mm-hmm.
not all, will collect some sort of, like, memento or something from their victims. So that might have been...
That
seems like that's what it is, but you never know if that was also, like, he did that in his, like, normal sexual relationships, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you think about the age difference.
Yeah. Well, remember they took photos of that first rape he was convicted of, so it may have just been something he associated with. This is how you do this!
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, in November of 2011... they considered Franklin a suspect of 6 additional murders that were between 1988 and 2002, when they originally thought Grimsleeper was dormant. But they were able to link him after reviewing the old case files and having the public assist in identifying the women from some of the photos.
Jeez.
So now, let's talk trial.
Let's do it.
Trial started February 16th, 2016, ended May 5th, 2016. Jealous. Rude. where he was convicted of all counts, thankfully.
Good.
During the sentencing phase on May 12, 2016, prosecutors were able to bring up the other 4 victims, citing ballistics and DNA evidence, although they weren't added to the trial because they didn't want to, like, delay the proceedings any further.
Yeah, that makes sense. But at least they were able to speak about it.
Mm-hmm. So June 6, 2016, he was sentenced to death. And they ended up figuring out that his basic MO was he would pick up black female sex workers, sexually assault them, photograph them after shooting them with a 25 caliber gun. And he took photos of them during, before, and after the assaults, and he sometimes would keep their jewelry as a trophy.
Jeez.
So, good news is, he died March 28th, 2020.
Ah!
Fuck you!
Sayonara!
Yes. So, Prosecutors suspected that Franklin's first victim was Sharon Alicia Dismuke, 21, killed in January 15th of 1984. And now I'll read through the list of the victims, which I literally just fucking copied the chart because they did it in a really interesting way. So they did the name of the victim, her age, the year that they passed, where they found the body, and all of that stuff. In some cases, they could not find all of the bodies.
Ugh.
So, we started with Sharon. So then we had Deborah Ronette Jackson, 29, on August 10th, 1985. So he got convicted on that count. Henrietta Wright, 34, August 12th, 1986, convicted on that count. Thomas Sylvester Steele, August 14th, 1986. So he was suspected but not convicted or charged due to lack of evidence. And because he was male, they think that he was a friend of another victim and he had discovered who the Grim Sleeper was.
Gotcha. So it was more of like a cover-up kill?
Yep, yep. And then we have Barbara Bethune Ware, 23, January 10th, 1987. He was convicted on that one. Bernita Rochelle Sparks, 26, April 15th, 1987. Convicted on that one. Mary Catherine Lowe, 26, November 1st, 1987, convicted on that one. And those two, the April 15th and the November, the bodies were found at the same place. So, I mean, they're months apart, so it's ridiculous to think that they would constantly stalk that place out, but...
Right.
Number eight, Larisha Denise Jefferson, 22, in January... 1988, convicted on that charge. Inez Elizabeth Warren, 28, August 15th, 1988. So she was not originally considered a victim until after the arrest because evidence linked his MO from the other murders to hers.
Okay.
So I think she was one of those four.
Okay.
So he was not convicted, but they were able to connect her in.
Yeah, they just didn't want to delay trial by pushing.
Yep. Alicia Monique Alexander, September 11th, 1988. He was convicted on that one. Oh, goodness gracious. Anitra Marguette Washington, 30. That's our survivor.
Okay.
And she was attacked November 20th, 1988. Yep. And then Georgia Mae Thomas, December 28th, 2000. So she was not considered a Grim Sleeper victim until after the arrest as well because she was linked through MO.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Cheyenne Berthemux? Berthemux? I'm so sorry.
Wait.
Berthemux. Berthemux. Thank you. March 19th, 2002. Convicted on that
young one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was 15 years old. She was a young one.
Ugh.
I think that might be his youngest. Valerie Louise McCorvey, 35, July 11, 2003, convicted on that one. Aliyah Gabadza Marshall, 18, they never found her, but it was suspected because she was last seen in February of 2005, but her school ID was found in Franklin's garage.
Ugh.
And they were able...
See,
don't cry.
Is he crying in there and pulling his weenie out?
Maybe.
Oh, no.
Chee-chees!
Is she dead? What's she doing?
Being gross?
No.
Just crying?
Just crying.
Okay.
That was dramatic for nothing.
Yes, Auntie will carry me back.
He says, but I got Auntie to come get me because I cried.
Ugh. All right.
Sorry.
Such a drama, but.
Drama.
Victim 16, Rolina Morris, 31. They never found her, but she was last seen on September 5th, 2005. Her Nevada driver's license and two sexually explicit pictures of her were found in Franklin's garage.
Ugh.
She was also presented at the sentencing. Janica Lavette Peters, January 1st, 2007, age 25. That was the last convicted one.
Oh my gosh, that is such a long span.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm sure there were some that they never found, and I'm sure...
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Garbage.
There you have it. At least that piece of human garbage is dead.
I mean, accurate. Well, you know how I feel about...
I know.
Dead human garbage.
Well, I know. You're okay. You are not garbage.
You're not
You're
garbage.
A good boy.
You're a good dog.
You're a good red dog.
Oh,
oh dear.
What did we do?
Hi.
He says, you said I was good. Now I will come and
you
crawl
speak
inside
into the mic?
Of your skin.
Yeah?
Well.
Anything to say, red dog?
No.
Okay.
You got nothing? Little tail wag, that's it?
Little tail wag. Well, there you go.
There you have it.
There you have it. I'm really glad that they were able to link the rest of those victims.
Yeah.
And I hope that their families got some semblance of justice out of that.
Yeah.
I know there are a lot of people who feel like once the suspect is convicted and sentenced to death penalty that they don't really get their full justice if they don't get executed, but California doesn't do that right now.
We have opinions.
We have opinions.
You know?
We think they should do that.
It's a fine line, because in some instances I'm, like, for it. Some instances I'm against it. Because some people I do genuinely think suffer more if they are stuck in prison forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With, like, a maximum security prison with the rest of the terrible people in the world.
Yeah.
But then again, there's some that should just be put down.
Well, and I also, if California, Gavin Newsom.
We're talking to you and your shitty hair.
And your shitty hair and your fucking white couches and your stupid fucking office. Anyway.
And your shitty attitude.
And your shitty attitude. My question is if you really want San Quentin that bad, why don't you just execute everybody on death row and then move everybody else?
I think it's a good point.
Is it that expensive to kill them?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll start a charity.
Oh.
I mean.
I know at least 400 others who would gladly participate in that charity.
Yeah. I think that might be the next business venture.
We have to finish the other three business
Too
ventures.
Too late. This one's taking priority.
Oh, God. All right.
Taking donations to execute all the human garbage in the world.
Human garbage.
Human garbage. Human garbage.
Well, thank you for joining us.
And we'll see you, not with our eyeballs, but with our voices, next week.
Next week.
Bada-bing. Bada-boom. Bada-boom. Ooh.
Oh, snap.
This is a little bada bing bada boom moment.
Bop, bop, bop.